Turn, if you will, James chapter 3. We'll finish up chapter 3 today, I believe. Let's just read that chapter again, and it'll bring us up right to verses 13 through 18 is our text today. James chapter 3. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body, and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and of birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed, and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Neither can salt water produce fresh. Verse 13 starts our text today. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it's earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's bow for prayer, please. Our Father in heaven, as we look into your word today, the things that the Holy Spirit himself inspired James to write, I pray, God, that we'll take it to heart, that we'll be able to see from your word what you have for each one of us here today. I pray for each one of us today here, Father, that you will speak to us according to that which would please you, that each one of us will see new and different things from your word. We know that from the same message, you can speak different things to all of us here according to your great purpose. We thank you, our Father, for your word, for the truth of it, and for the joy that we have in it and for the comfort that we have. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, James simply starts our text off today by asking a question. He says, who among you is wise and has understanding? Well, nobody wants to raise their hand. But the question sets up the next verses that follow. The question also arises about who is James speaking to? Is he still speaking to these would-be teachers? Yes, it does seem that way. Is he still talking about the tongue? Well, he is, but he's going to veer off just a little bit. He's going to veer more toward actions. But the tongue's still involved. Bitter jealousy and envy and selfish ambition, it'll show itself. It'll show itself out the tongue. So James is still speaking on that subject, but it certainly applies to every one of us here today. We can all glean from this message, I'm sure, of what James is saying. But he's getting back to our actions. You know how James is. He gets on those actions. How do we live? How do we go about our everyday life? And he's on that. He seems to be stuck on that subject. We can't get him off. So who is this wise person who has understanding? What will he look like? What will he look like as he goes through life? Will he have to announce to people that he's wise? Will he have to come up here and say, you know, Shepherd's Fellowship, I always have been a wise person. It's a gift God has given me. Yeah. Yeah, we move into pride there, didn't I? No, he won't have to do that. J.I. Packer said something. He said this. He said, there's a mistake we make when we think that God has given wisdom to people. He says we can think the gift of wisdom consists of a deepened insight into the meaning and purpose of the events going on around us. He says, or that people have the ability to see why God has done what he's done in a particular case and what he's going to do next. Well, that's not, nobody has wisdom like that. Nobody can say, well, now God's doing this and here's what he's going to do next. That's not really what he's talking about here. Wouldn't be any need for faith if we could see that. But Packer goes on to say that wisdom is like driving a car. Ron Michael, you just started driving. This is good. He says we can't fret over the amount of traffic we're in. He says going through life, we can't fret over what's going on around us. We can't fret of why the lady in front of us is accelerating while her foot's still on the brakes. He says we simply try to see and do the right thing in the actual situation that presents itself. And that's what we do driving, whatever's happening. If you're on Wendover and it's raining and it's 5:30 or 6 o'clock on a Monday through Friday, well, you're in a mess. But that's where you are. So you have to do the right thing. He says that being wise does not mean we understand everything that's going on because of some superior wisdom, but that we do the right thing as life comes along with a mind dependent on the wisdom of God. That's a pretty good definition. I like that. So nobody wanted to admit to being wise. However, Proverbs 1:7. That's our starting point for wisdom. What's our starting point? Fear of the Lord. If you have the fear of the Lord, you are wise. God has opened your eyes. That's our starting point. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God caused it. God caused you to fear. We're wise if we understand that it's from Jesus Christ that we are in Jesus Christ. That he caused it. God's given us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. Now he's still working on these. And redemption. So what can we boast about? We have nothing to boast. When we truly see God, truly see ourselves, the only thing we can say is, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And that's wise. That's wisdom. We still can't even do that except by the Holy Spirit's power. He causes that. Now, after conversion, we become what the Scripture describes as in Christ. We immediately get Christ's wisdom And of course, the door is open for more. If any man lacks wisdom, what's he supposed to do? Ask of God, who gives to all generously. Psalm 119 says something. Let's turn, if you will, turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, starting in verse 97. Some of you got nervous. You thought I was going to read that whole psalm, didn't you? Whoa. We got a break coming. I'll just start in in verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed thy precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep thy word. I have not turned aside from thine ordinances, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. It's a mouthful in those verses. You notice in verse 100, he says he understands more than the ages. Age has nothing to do with wisdom. It's based on the word. He says he has more understanding because he's observed God's laws. He says from thy precepts he gets understanding. Therefore, he hates every false way. To hate the false way and to love the truth is what we get from God's Word. It's God's Word that guides us. That's what gives us our understanding. It's if we didn't have God's Word in this life, we'd really be in a mess. We'd be wandering through this life. We'd be wandering in the desert. But the word, according to this psalmist here, he says it's sweeter. He says his words are sweeter than honey. And indeed it is. So, who is wise and has understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life.